like the remix.
Same old shit, just a different day. Out here trying to get it, each and every way. Wait, mama need a house,
baby need some shoes.
Times are getting hard. Guess what I'ma do?
What?
Oh, baby, it's Wednesday. Did you know that? Get yourself a calendar. Better find out today. You are watching live from the studio, The Daily Edition. I am your host, Jimmy Selesky. I chose to open up the show with this particular song, not just because it's bumping and fire, but because today we're going to talk about one of the most famous hustlers of our time, Mr. Andrew Tate. Now, some would call him a hustler, but for various different reasons. The word hustler is an interesting word. If you're a hustler, that could mean you're a grinder. You work hard. You get shit done. It could also, however, mean, if you're a hustler, that you are a cheat, that you are scamming someone, that you are ripping people off. If you are hustling, that's a good thing. I'm hustling. I'm making things happen. If you're getting hustled, that's no good. Nobody wants to get hustled. It's great to be the hustler. Not quite as great to be the hustlee. And so here we are. Andrew Tate, for some reason, and I can't exactly put my finger on it, is trending heavily in the media today. Now, I myself, personally, I did not notice anything out of the ordinary. I do, of course, follow Andrew Tate on Twitter, because in case you haven't noticed, I am an alpha male. A top G, one could say. Most people choose not to say that about me, but one could if you wanted to. I'm not telling you have to, but every now and then if you wanted to, you could call me a top G. Andrew Tate has been out at this for quite some time. He is perhaps the world's most famous misogynist. Not just hustler, but misogynist. And that's another interesting word, which we'll talk about in a moment. Andrew Tate is a personality. He is also a man that wears many hats, metaphorically speaking, although he is bald. He is a former world champion kickboxer. That's pretty tight. He is, well, let's check his Twitter to see what else he's got going on. Oh, here's his bio. Look at that. Who pulled that up? Thanks. Me. Andrew Tate. Human trafficker because I told friends how to post on TikTok. Rapist because some girl remembered from 15 years ago once I became rich. Well, that about sums it up for me. I mean, there you have it. I find that funny. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't want to visit the realm of the universe that the person occupies that sees that bio and goes, ugh, gross, disgusting, boring. Can you be more boring? That's funny. Okay? Regardless of what you think, I enjoy that. It's funny. He was arrested in Romania for alleged human trafficking. He was released. It was kind of a weird situation. Honestly, I didn't get too invested in it. I didn't look too far into it. But from the outside looking in, it seemed much like what we're used to, which is somebody does something, and if that somebody who did that thing is someone who they don't like, they will be hit with the full arm of the law and then some. meaning they're going to get punished way more than what they actually deserve. And that's what I gathered. I'm sorry. I could be wrong about this, but it seemed to me like he wasn't exactly a sex trafficker. He had girls at a webcam company that made him money. I don't think they were forced to do this. Girls, trust me, if you go online right now, believe me, might want to try this out later, not right now. But later, if you go and like type into Google, like webcam girls, there's a lot of them. I don't know if you notice this. They seem to, a lot of girls seem to be into that. So I don't know if that necessarily amounts to whatever. I don't know what they're accusing him of. Okay, let's just get that out of the gate. I don't think he's a rapist. He doesn't strike me as a rapist. And I don't know that for certain either. This is just a guy guessing. This episode should be called Guy Guesses. Guy Guesses. I feel like I have pretty good rapedar. I can look at a guy and I can tell how much questionably consensual sex he has engaged in. I have that gift. And one of the common themes that I've noticed is the guys who they tell you are that type are generally not that type. Because if you watch movies and like rom-coms from like the 90s and 2000s, they would have you believe that like the rapey guy is like the alpha male jock quarterback, captain of the football team, you know, douchebag that all the girls like, you know, the president of the fraternity, all that, you know what I'm saying, like that type of guy, like the cool guy. That they would have you believe that guy is the rapey guy. And then, of course, if you watch those movies, there's like the best friend, her best friend guy, who's like there the whole time, but she doesn't notice until the end that they should have been together the whole time. And he was like, I understand everything about you. You know, why can't you see? Why do girls only like douchebags? I found those guys to be more the rapey guys. Honestly. See, the alpha guys, they're doing fine. Andrew Tate, good looking, rich, famous, successful, jacked, charming. He's doing all right. Go ahead and return the chloroform, sir. You're doing just fine. Right this way. Here you go. The other type, the meek little, why doesn't she like me? Why am I always in the friend zone? Those are the guys going to watch out for, because I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. See, girls already understand this. I know this. Maybe. I don't know why. I'm just assuming that girls already understand this because all the guys that I'm talking about are guys that you have already friend zoned. So this is more of a lesson for the guys who can't seem to figure out what it is. Why do girls only like douchebags? They don't, dude. They don't. They like confident guys. And another point of note before I get back to what I was talking about. I have never met a girl in my real life that knows who Andrew Tate is and also finds him like attractive, like wants to be with him or like has a crush on him. Because Andrew Tate is, one could describe him as a douchebag. And the fact that no girl that I know in real life is attracted to him is evidence thereof. That girls don't seem to be all that attracted to douchebags. Now back to those friend guys, the nice guys, m'lady. You know what's deceiving about those guys? Is it those guys, girls, if you're listening, those guys want to fuck you just as bad as the other guys, the alpha guys. They both want that. But they go about it in this weird, weaselly, deceptive way. At least the other guy's like, hey, I find you attractive. We should go out sometime. The other guy's like, maybe if I hang around long enough, she'll go out with me. They're the less upfront ones. And I get that a lot of that comes from being timid. I've been that guy, not the rape guy, but I've been like the friend zone guy in my younger days before I learned the trick to the getting out of the friend zone is to get the fuck out altogether. The end zone, you know, the second it's like, yeah, no, I like that. Like, oh, talking about other guys. No. If you're hanging around, listen to a girl talk about other dudes, you need to get out of there, because the longer you hang around, the lower your chances are of ever, ever getting that girl. I promise you, take it from me. Take it from your boy. I've been on both sides of this. Some guys never leave that side, though. Some guys are there their whole lives, which is unfortunate. But those are the guys that I feel like, if I had to put a finger on, like, that guy seems more like the guy who might hang around and like try to take an opportunity, like if she like gets super drunk at a party or something, like, oh, like maybe now is a good time to like try to make out with her or something, like, you know. That's kind of those types of guys, really. Because they're doing that the whole time. They're hanging around the whole time, like weeks and months on end, waiting for an opportunity. I saw this documentary on cuttlefish. And there was this alpha male cuttlefish, and he had like, you know, a group of female cuttlefish. And any other like male that wanted to like mate with them, he would like tell them to buzz off, get out of here, find your own female cuttlefish. And so what the lesser male cuttlefish would do is they have this ability to like literally transform their bodies, like physically, to resemble that of like a female. And then they slide in with the group of females without the male noticing. And then behind his back, they mate with them. That's what I see in those kind of friend-zoney guys. They recognize that they can't compete with the guys who are actually conventionally attractive guys. Masculine, charming, cool dudes. And so they take the other route where they're like... aren't they the worst? Those guys just go to the gym all day and like work on your muscles. Like read a book, dude. Right? Like try having an emotion once in a while. Right? Like, oh my God, you're so sweet. That's the guy sliding in there under the radar. I don't trust you motherfuckers. I don't. But anyway, so that's a clear cut and dry exoneration of this rape charge for Andrew Tate, if I've ever heard one. Can we replay that in the court? Your Honor, one final witness to the stand. This guy in a garage, Mr. Jimmy Selesky. Yes, Your Honor, I would like to call to the stand myself this cuttlefish. Case closed. No, Andrew Tate is certainly a misogynist. That goes without saying. I'll play you a clip. This is how most people see Andrew Tate. This is a pretty... I'll let you decide for yourself how amusing you find this. But for the most part, just know that this is a clip from, I don't know, a podcast or something. Ever heard of it?
And if you don't know who Alex Jones is, I have very little interest in talking to you. Because, as my brother just said, he will go on a date with a brilliant, beautiful 10 out of 10 Russian woman, the kind of woman who you're trying to spam on Instagram who doesn't reply to you because she's too busy chasing us.
I don't even have Instagram.
And she'll sit down in a room and we'll play InfoWars. She'll have no idea what's going on and she'll sit there and smile and have the time of her life because she doesn't actually give a shit because she gets to be next to us. I get to go on dates with women and sit there and talk about the globalist agenda and how they're trying to turn us all gay by socially engineering us through the tap water, and they haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, and they're sitting there going, okay, and they'll do anything I want by the end of it. Whereas you have to go on a date and ask, so what's your favorite color? And you still don't get jerked off. You still have to buy her flowers and go home alone. So I turn up and sit down and say, Alex Jones is unbanned. I don't have time for this date. I'm going to be on my phone because I'm texting Alex Jones. We'll do an emergency meeting about this. Maybe we'll bang later, but now I'm busy. First date. Order a pasta, anything else you want. I'm rich. Ignore her. Talk about the globalist agenda. Do Aikido with my brother. Bring her home. And it's all.
That's a great line. Right. I want to be able to want one day say that. Order a pasta if you want. I'm rich. Maybe one day. Back to the clip.
All over. That's what happens when you're top G, because she gets to go in my cars.
Whereas when you're you, it's so. Do you like music, concerts?
What's your middle name?
I downloaded this app recently.
You got any brothers or sisters? So how many other men have you met on Bumble?
Do you like restaurants?
We're so back.
We are so back. America's back. America is back.
All right. So he kind of breaks character at the end there. But he puts it out there like that. And it's like, okay, obviously when a guy talks like that, it is what it is. I mean, that is douchebaggery. Now he does make like $8 million a month. While also having been a world champion fighter and running an online business and all these other things. Like, I mean, I'll let you know what my personality is when I'm making $8 million a month. I assume it's not going to be that. But I will say that what he's describing, although douchebaggish, is probably legitimately true. I'm imagining he probably does go out with a lot of models who are just happy to be with some rich, famous guy. And I imagine he probably is able to be like that and still get laid. And so, if anything, ladies, that's kind of on you. I mean, I'm not like that. And look at me. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm not the one fucking him. You know? Don't look at me. Don't look at me, women. Look at yourself. You're giving him the stories to tell. For Christ's sake. Now, that is how he comes off to a lot of people. That's all they see of him. And we're going to talk about why he exists in the first place, why he has reached his level of fame for various reasons. Societally, and also entrepreneurially. He definitely capitalized on something. So we're going to talk about what he did to capitalize on, but we're also going to talk about what was that something that he capitalized upon. Because those are both two relevant points of conversation. The latter, arguably the most important point of conversation. But first, let me show you a different side before we make our final judgment. So this is what a lot of people see.
There's a version of you that never sleeps in, never skips training, never wastes time. There's a version of you who never fails. It is waiting for you. Genuinely ask yourself a question, you at home. If you had done those things for the last 2 years, you never skipped a training. You never wasted time. You never scrolled TikTok. You never sat aimlessly on the internet typing in garbage, never played video games. You never wasted time. You never skipped training. You were training every single day. You never slept in. You were never lazy. There's this version of you. Imagine the person you would be. Genuinely imagine what you would look like. Imagine where you would live. Imagine the car you would drive. Imagine how much your woman would respect you. Imagine the love you would see in her eyes when she looks at you with adoration like a king. Imagine your existence. That person is waiting for you. And the only thing that's stopping you from being that person is your monumental laziness. You can have it. The universe is very giving. It will give you anything you work for. I've never seen somebody try for something with all of their might and not get it. The only people who do not have the things they want are the people who do not try for them. I've never seen a person wake up and say, my only dedication in life is to solve a Rubik's Cube and fail. You are not stupid. You are not incompetent. You are lazy and arrogant. It's extremely important you understand that that person is waiting for you and you are declining that version of yourself. In the multiverse, in the many different versions of the universe that exist, there is a version of you that does those exact things. And he is a greater person than you can even fathom. You can transform yourself into that guy. You can be a top G. That's exactly what I did. I knew who I was going to have to end up being before I became that person. My brother and I are not from rich families. We are not from advantaged beginnings. But I knew I had to be a big, strong, fighting billionaire. That's what I knew I had to be. Discipline is the key to success. If you cannot force yourself to do something you don't want to do, how are you ever going to put yourself through the suffering required for greatness? If you cannot force yourself to train when you do not want to train, if you cannot force yourself to work when you don't want to work, if you can't force yourself to not log into Pornhub or force yourself to eat right, how can you possibly ever become a monumentally successful person if you cannot control yourself long enough to do what must be done as opposed to what you feel like doing? The only people who get to live their lives based on how they feel are women and children. Children can cry because they feel like crying, as can a woman. A woman can start an argument because she feels like arguing, as can a child. A man must do what he is supposed to do, irregardless of how he feels. That is the key component to masculinity, is discipline.
Or a pasta or something, I'm rich. No, that, I first of all, quick tidbit. I like how he said regardless correctly first, and then corrected himself to the incorrect irregardless. He was like, it doesn't matter regardless. I'm sorry, irregardless. That I found that amusing. Anyway, you can see now perhaps why young men resonate with this. I'm going to play you one more clip here, and just to seal this deal before we go into the larger discussion at hand.
Evolution requires pain. While others complain that they do not feel happy enough, I'm happy I'm struggling. I don't want to be happy. I want to be great. This is the beauty of life as a man. Do you understand? I don't care. I'm happy to be struggling. I wanted to fight. You wanted to win. I wanted to fight. That's the difference. You're concerned with winning. I wanted to just fight. And we're fighting. That is the beauty of life as a man. To be great. If you concern yourself only with being happy, you are once again acting like a female or a child. Happiness is fleeting. It doesn't even matter. If you're concerned only with the hedonism of happiness, you're going to drink alcohol and go to parties and go to festivals and take drugs. I want to be happy. Who cares? I want to be great. I want to be great all of the time. And let me ask you a question as a man at home, genuinely, truthfully. Would you rather be a loser who's always smiling, a happy loser, or would you rather be a stressed winner?
Let me think on that. Back to the video.
Because I'll tell you something about winners. Most of them are stressed.
We are stressed.
We're stressed. Putin is stressed. Genghis Khan was stressed when his messenger turned up after a four-week ride with updates from the battlefront of Iran. I'm sure he was stressed by what he read. Even if it was very good, even if it all looked fantastic, he started to feel stressed. Okay, well now maybe I need to go to Iran. How long is it going to take me to get there? Maybe we need to send more horses. Maybe we need to colonize Iran. He felt stress because the beauty of life as a man is to be great. So you have to sit here and ask yourself, do you want to be a happy loser that's insignificant? Nobody knows you exist. Women don't respect you. Men don't respect you. Nobody cares if you live or die, but you get to smile all the time. Or do you want to be one of the most important people on the planet with a little bit of stress? I am brilliant because I've decided to be brilliant. And if I have to sacrifice happiness to be brilliant, then that's fine. You know what the great thing about it is? You know it's amazing what God gives, how the whole world becomes full circle? If you stop caring about being happy and you start caring instead about being great, guess what you end up being?
Happy, right? Happy?
Along with great.
And you know what? Yeah.
Dude, why does that... Dude, clearly he's trying to get to, you're going to be happy. Who is this other guy? Don't you hear the music in the background, dude? Do you not hear the violin music in the background? Clearly, if you're not concerned with being happy and you strive to be great, you end up being... Say it for the people in the back.
Happy.
Happy.
You end up happy if you forget about happiness and try to become great.
Okay. Jeez Louise, other guy. We couldn't edit him out. That might have been his brother. Irregardless. Look, he definitely takes a quote-unquote misogynist tone. He often refers back to, you know, women and children can be this, but a man, it's a war. You have to fight for everything. You know, anything worth having is hard to get. You know, that car you want is expensive because everyone else wants it. That girl you want is hard to attain because everybody else wants her. It's a sentiment, and this goes back to the larger conversation at hand and why this exists at all. And we talked about this on a podcast a long time ago, an actual podcast with me and Eric. I believe the episode was called Blame Society. Aptly named Blame Society. I'd love to meet the guy who named it that. Oh, nice to meet you. Blame Society. Why blame society? Because we see a person like this rise to an immense amount of fame and notoriety, preaching what many people would refer to as a toxic masculinity. And in many ways, his ideology does venture into what I would agree is toxic. He has recently converted to Muslim. And he talks about, like, you know, I'll read you a tweet here. This is a good example of a tweet he tweeted. This, I think, was today, was it not? Let's take a look at this. Okay, take a look. So mind you, this guy is he's half white, half black, for context. But this is addressed to white men. Dear white men, you're fucked. You're being replaced because none of you have children. Even those of you bitching about the replacement online like little girls don't find the gumption to fuck. I see white men bragging about having 5 kids as if it's an achievement. 5? Double LOL. Per year, right? Oh, all you white boys lost control of your women and now they won't accept multiple wives anymore. Okay. Now they tell you they don't want any more kids. One's enough. They don't want to do their God-given job anymore. They want Instagram likes instead. So your genetic potential is stumped by the whims of some singular female. A female who takes 9 whole months to grow a single baby. I agree with. Pick it up, ladies. Come on. 9 months? It's a whole school year. Other races have multiple ovens for bread. We're not cucked. I can't disagree with that part. Some bitch is screaming at you about loyalty and you're sitting there saying, yes, baby, jerking off to porn when she's asleep or maybe cheating with a side bitch. Condom on. Oh no, I couldn't get another woman pregnant. My wife would kill me. Total fucking losers. Soon your race will be nothing more than a few pages in a history book. A lesson on what happens when you fuck the female psyche so hard they're obsessed with money and social media as opposed to being one of many baby factories for a king. Okay, I see where the misogyny is coming from here. 30 children minimum for the Dons. White people, go talk to your best friend, wife, about what to do this weekend. Maybe you can take a nice walk around IKEA. Enjoy extinction. Okay. So there's a lot to unpack there. This is the weird part of analyzing people like this. Is because... And I always found this fascinating with guys like David Icke. He was like a big conspiracy guy in like the 90s, 80s maybe. I don't know, like that time. I remember my Uncle Phil gave my dad like a video cassette. Back when you really had to grind. You had to hustle to get conspiracy videos. You can't just type something into YouTube. You have to go to Blockbuster and rent a video about shape-shifting lizard people in the elites and check it out at the front counter. And probably the guy at Blockbuster working the cashier has already seen that video. So you're probably good. But still, it's kind of like when you go to CVS and you buy like anything mildly embarrassing. Like, you know, if you buy baby wipes, which I did today. And you just have to hope that they assume that you have a baby. Because God forbid they knew that I wipe my ass with baby. God forbid they knew that my ass is... clean as a whistle. I've said this before and I'll say it again. When you think you're done wiping, Because most people don't use wipes. They just use toilet paper. And that's, I was going to say that's fine. It's not fine. You think you're done wiping your ass with your toilet paper? Your toilet paper? Stand up as you normally would and then do me a favor, just once. Sit back down, grab yourself a wipe, and go again. See what happens. And just know you've been walking around with that all day, every day, your entire life. And then laugh at me. Laugh at me. Laugh at my clean ass. I don't care. Maybe buy condoms at CVS. And you hope that the guy at the register doesn't know that you live in a garage and is probably thinking, dude, I think we're good on this. You want me to put this, you want me to deliver this to you in 4 months, maybe? When you'll need them? But that's all aside the point. It's weird with guys like this because they say a whole bunch of truth and they kind of fuck it up with the ridiculousness. Now, he is Muslim. And if I know anything about Muslims, I do believe that there are parts of the world, for sure, where having multiple wives is a thing. This isn't exactly a new idea. It certainly doesn't fit in with Western society, I would say. I don't personally think that that's probably the way to go. I do agree that people should be having kids, not necessarily just white people. But I have seen a trend in modern culture where family and having children are discouraged. Children, you'll see many women refer to children themselves as like parasites or something. Like it's a weird place we've gotten to in society where it's like, I don't know. And the effects are showing. The effects are showing. But then you have the other thing where he's saying, like, you know, you can have multiple different women, have kids with multiple different women. And it's like, yeah, but you're kind of supposed to, like, raise them, dude. Did I mention he was half white and half black? That's aside the point. You are supposed to raise them, dude, not just have a bunch of kids. So, yeah, again, not a good showing. I'm taking you guys an emotional roller coaster here. You're seeing the good, you're seeing the bad. I think that's a fair way to do this. This is a tweet that I found incredibly amusing, myself personally. 2 years no alcohol. I don't feel physically any better. I was still a killer while drinking gin and tonics every day, and I still made tons of money. Booze doesn't detriment your life at all, unless you're an idiot. I surpassed all of you nonstop partying. I quit for my soul, not my life. I when I saw that, I was like, I love that. I love when somebody just takes a whole different path than what you're used to. Because every person you see on social media that posts about how long they haven't done drugs or alcohol, it's just this immediate, like, trust me, my life is so much better. You have to do this. It's almost like a little bit of a casual, like, insult, because obviously most people drink, you know, most people drink. How many people in your life do you know that absolutely do not drink alcohol ever? It's very few. And there is a little bit of a, like, better than you-ness to it that I kind of always want to say, like, hey, dude, have you ever considered just not being a complete lunatic when you drink? Have you ever heard of a thing called moderation? Like, you don't get to go from being a belligerent alcoholic to sober and bypass me in the process, who's just a guy who knows how to have a beer without ruining his life. Although I may have debatably ruined my life recently, but but you don't get to leapfrog me like that. That's not fair. Okay, sometimes I'm jealous. Sometimes I wish I was chronically addicted to something just so I could no longer be addicted to it and have that be a life achievement. It's a real curse when you don't have something like that to just, okay, I don't drink anymore. I guess I'm a success at life. Like, no, I gotta do other shit now. Nobody cares what I do. Maybe I should just quit drinking. But again, I love that. 2 years no alcohol. I don't feel physically any better. I was still a killer while drinking gin tonics every day. Booze doesn't detriment your life at all. That's science. It doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. So I looked further into this, and I was trying to figure out why he is so in the news today. And I think we might have found the culprit. I have insulted blacks. I have insulted whites. I have insulted men and women. But I got in serious trouble when I insulted Israel for committing genocide. Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner. Could that be it? It does seem to be a little bit of a trend. That could be it. I don't know. He is Muslim. He has been vocal about what we've been talking about this week, and we're not going to get back into that. It's okay. Relax. But there's a potentiality to that. So I found that interesting. Maybe that was the kicker. Is that the line? It seems to be the line, I've noticed. It does seem to be a line there. Ask Kanye. But let's talk about this bigger conversation that I've been teasing for far too long. Why does a guy like this exist on such a large platform? And the answer is, once again, blame society. Because there's a natural ebb and flow to, if you think of water, for instance. Big on water lately. I got a whole palette of it over there. I'm a big water guy now. I know everything about it. It's wet. Or is it? It will fill a void. Fluid will fill the flow of things. It will fill a void. If you have something in a bucket of water, you pull it out, the water fills that gap. It's how it works. When you have a culture in society, which, and this is just, in my opinion, the general case of things. We are at a place in society where I do believe that actual masculinity, not toxic masculinity, but traditional positive masculinity, masculine traits, masculine behavior, have been vilified. I believe that. It absolutely has. The word masculinity, in my opinion, tends to conjure a somewhat negative connotation in popular culture. We're constantly hearing about the bad elements of what it means to be a man. We're constantly being told that those things that you exhibit, even the things that aren't necessarily masculine features, he relates them, he ties them into masculinity for very understandable reasons that I don't disagree with, but they aren't exclusively masculine traits, but the traits of suffering, going through pain, working hard, not caring about being happy, not caring about your emotions, just getting stuff done, finding solutions, taking accountability for things. Again, these aren't specifically, exclusively masculine traits, but they are traits that are heavily associated with positive masculinity in the past. Taking self-accountability, not falling to your emotions, not worrying about how something makes you feel, just solving it. I'm not saying women don't do that. I will say that probably the most common argument that a man and a woman get in their relationship is when a woman is describing an issue she's having, and instead of the man being there for her emotionally and consoling her and listening and hearing how she feels and, you know, just kind of mirroring that back and being there for her while she vents or whatever, a man's wiring triggers immediately into problem-solving mode. And that pisses off women a lot in relationships. I can say that from personal experience, and I know many people would agree with this. women don't want you necessarily always. I mean, they do ultimately because they are attracted to men. Obviously, the same way men are attracted to women, men value femininity, women value masculinity. But there are times when there is this mismatch in certain moments where the wiring of a man's brain is not really set up to dwell in emotion. Some people could say that's societal. People will say that's a social construct. Men have been trained not to listen to their emotions. Whenever someone says something is a social construct, my response is always, social constructs are biological constructs. Society was shaped not by a flip of a coin. We didn't just decide one day, you know, thousands of years ago, like they were sitting there with like an NBA draft, just picking out what roles men should play, what roles women should play, what traits men should exhibit, what traits women should exhibit. They were like, okay, next up on the docket, not being as emotionally driven, being more solution-oriented. Who should we give that to? Let's flip a coin. Okay, that one's going to men, so we'll train men to be like that. And I don't know, let's see, more nurturing, more intuitive, better at understanding people's emotions, more emotionally intelligent overall. Okay, that one's going to women. We didn't do that. Like, the reason why society was shaped the way it was is because males and females already exhibited certain strengths that played into how society structured itself. So we acknowledged on a biological level how men and women work. And we said, okay, men, you guys are bigger, stronger, more territorial. You guys handle the hunting and the warring and the protecting of the family unit. And women, you guys are literally, I mean, literally built like stock model built to get pregnant, have a baby, then feed that baby from your own body. It's honestly amazing. It is amazing. And by some crazy coincidence, women also have a brain structure that makes them better at knowing how to nurture something. I can't even keep a plant alive. I've talked about this before in the podcast. Men don't even have the idea to get a plant until they have a girlfriend. I never walked into a dude's house who's a single dude and just has like plants everywhere. I've never seen that. I mean, maybe when you get to a certain age, but even that, they have it because they don't want to look like a complete bachelor loser when a girl comes over. They're not sitting there like, you know, like I know girls that like they go places and like their first thought is like, I'm going to adopt a foster cat or something. Like it fulfills them to nurture things. It is that instinct. And men don't have that instinct. Men have other instincts. I'm not saying one instinct's better than the other, but it's not a coincidence that that instinct happened to fall into the biological sex of females who also physically exhibit all the traits of nurturing a child. These aren't coincidences. But acknowledging that there are differences between men and women, and also acknowledging that in modern society, less and less value has been placed upon the masculine traits. What used to be valued, strength, bravery, willingness to fight, self-accountability. Self-accountability is the big one. Again, not saying that's an exclusively masculine trait, but it is something that is taught to you. That goes hand in hand with the not dwelling in emotion, problem-solving thing altogether. Self-accountability. Because if you hold yourself accountable for any situation you're in, you don't want to be in an emotional state because you've absorbed this position that you're in as your own fault. And so you don't want to dwell in how it makes you feel because the enemy is you. You're the bad guy. If something went wrong at work and you don't like it, you're not going to sit there and dwell in how it makes you feel. If you're an accountable person, if you hold yourself responsible for everything that happens to you, because when you get to the end of that emotional train track, it's going to end up as your fault. And so before that train reaches the station, we got to figure this out. That is really what it is. The accountability thing. And even the messagery of accountability in modern society is being wiped off of the face of the earth. Purposely. We talked about this earlier in the week as well, or last week, or whenever. When you relinquish accountability for your own situation, you have also relinquished the power to change it. And when you no longer hold the power over your own life, someone else will take it. And that's where we are. That is where we are. We have been preaching an ideology of victimhood, that whatever situation you find yourself is not your fault. And so don't bother changing it. You can't change it. It's society's fault. Blame society. There's nothing you can do. We'll fix it. Vote for us. Pay us. Be dependent on us. Oh, you're depressed? Oh, well, yeah, sure. You wake up at noon every day. You haven't hit the gym in a year and a half. You eat like shit. You have no social life. Your job sucks. Your girlfriend hates you. You have no actual goals or interests or hobbies. But don't bother changing all that. Take this pill. I tell you what. I'll give you a pair. Take this pill. It's a chemical imbalance. There's nothing you can do. How about you just pay us or have your insurance pay us $1,000 a month for the rest of your life? Because, of course, this pill isn't going to cure it. It's just going to numb you to your shitty existence. If you will, look, chemical imbalances exist. I think. I don't know. I haven't done any studies. I'm sure they exist. People are born not able to walk. People are born not able to see. People are born without body parts. I imagine there are obviously people in the world that are born with different hormonal endorphin levels, and it's an uncontrollable emotional state they find themselves in regardless of their reality. But it is certainly not all of you. It's, I would venture to say, not even most of you. Not even close to most of you. But how much money and how much power do they attain over you and from you? If you walk into the doctor's office and the doctor says, oh, dude, you're feeling depressed and you just described your shitty life. Well, you're not depressed. You're just realistic. Your life does suck. Wake up earlier, go to the gym, get a better job, find some hobbies. That one's on the house. That's free. There's no prescription. There's no premium copay to that. So, of course, that idea is going to be discouraged. And people listening to this right now are going to say, so insensitive. You have no idea what you're talking about. You're not a doctor. You're a fucking loser. You're right about the last part and the other part. I'm not a doctor and I am a fucking loser. But I tell you what else I am. Right. I am right. I am right. They have no interest in telling you that you are the person in control of your own reality. And that's just one example. I could do this all night. I won't. But the point is, when you remove that from society, there's a void. There is a gap. When you remove positive elements of self-accountability, masculinity, responsibility, work ethic, then it will be replaced with the worst versions of that. A lie makes it around the world before the truth gets done tying its shoes. I made that quote up. Don't Google it. That's another thing that's true. So when you see positive male role models removed from society, it is replaced with negative male role models who are willing to put up with the bullshit who are willing to scream at the top of their lungs whatever crazy shit they want to scream. Because they don't care if you don't like them. They might be in it for their own personal gain, their own personal profit. And they've recognized that there is a large, massive void in society of young men, in particular in this case, that are looking for someone to tell them that, yeah, dude, you should embrace this aspect of yourself. Don't be a bitch. Don't be a pussy. Everything's your fault. Fix it. Fuck a bunch of chicks. Quit being a loser. Now, some of those things are not positive things to say. You shouldn't be out there trying to fuck a bunch of chicks. You should take responsibility for your actions and your circumstances. You should stop being a loser. We used to have people that embodied all the positive elements, and the negative elements were discouraged. There wasn't a void for masculinity in years past. We had those. We had those guys. This was a valued aspect of society. And so positive masculinity filled that gap. Now, obviously, there were elements throughout all time periods where there were toxic elements to it. But the point is that the role of manhood was relevant and respected. And therefore, with positive male role models to look up to, there was less of a gap for negative male role models to break in. You see this all the time in fatherless communities. Young men have a natural aggression. They have a natural drive for success. And when there's no positive male role models in a community, or a large lack thereof, let's say, that gap will be voided, that gap will be filled by negative role models. Oh man, you want to make money? I'll tell you how to make money. And they start doing that because they want to be successful. They want to be successful just as much as the kid who's going to Harvard to become a lawyer. They both want to be rich. They both want to have women. They both want to have nice cars, a nice, comfortable life. But in the instance of the person who doesn't have positive male role models, they are driven in the direction of toxic masculinity. Embracing all those elements of themselves, what it means to be a man, in the worst way. And so if you take issue with guys like Andrew Tate, first of all, take it with a grain of salt. I don't think that what he's saying is dangerous necessarily. I think a lot of it's wrong. I think a lot of it's right. And sometimes you have to take the good with the bad. If they're not just going to let the good exist, then this is what you get. So one final time, if you have an issue with people like this existing and having a platform, blame society. Blame yourself for removing all the positive aspects of what he's saying out of the conversation. And one final thing about Andrew Tate and the former part of the conversation, because we went to the societal aspect first. He has a subscription service, Hustler University. It is at the beautifully named university.com. I don't know how he got that domain name. Probably because he's rich. I got jimmyselesky.com for just $20. You should check it out. Actually, $200. And then a $20 Squarespace subscription. I'm not going to attempt to say that again. That was rough. But he has university.com. I'm imagining that's probably a little bit more than $200. And on there, he has a bunch of videos and lessons and things like that to show the subscriber how to make money in e-commerce, how to start a business, how to do this. And I actually looked in some reviews And I got a lot of mixed reviews, honestly, and kind of the end verdict that I came to after watching people talk about it, I tried to watch the neutral ones, because obviously there's going to be people that are like, yo, this is the best, and there's going to be people that are like, no matter what it is, they're going to say it sucks. But I tried to watch people that I gathered to be fairly objective about it, and they said, look, if you're someone who's already experienced in entrepreneurship, if you're someone who already is involved in e-commerce, you're not going to learn anything from this. If you're someone who's already familiar with how to market yourself on social media, or that's something you already do, you're not going to gain anything from this. This might not be worth it. But if you're a complete novice and have no idea what the hell's going on, and you're just looking for some type of direction or just some type of baseline foundation to work off of, it could be worth it. And also, there's an amazing affiliate program he has, which I find to be genius. And why he, part the other reason why he's so famous is because when you subscribe to this Hustler University for $50 a month, you can make money by clipping up the content that he posts on there, posting it to your own account, getting people to see it, getting people to watch it. And when they see it and watch it, there's an affiliate link, your affiliate link, and anybody you get to sign up through your link, you get $24. So basically, it's a pyramid scheme. But on Andrew Tate's part, it's pretty genius. He has hundreds of thousands of people making money for him by posting his clips, and they're also making money for themselves. That is how a pyramid scheme works, of course, because you don't get recurring revenue from the sign up. You just get that one initial thing. It's kind of like when I got that job interview at Cutco, and you're selling like knife supplies and scissors and shit that are like really good. It was a good product, but like, you had to buy the set yourself that you're supposed to sell to people for $500. And then the idea is you're going to get all your family and friends who feel bad for you because it's your first job, and even worse for you if it's not your first job. And they're going to buy one, and then you're going to get a commission of that. The company's going to make most of it. And unless you're an actually good salesperson, that's about the most sales you're ever going to make. You're going to sell to your family and friends, and then they're going to get those sales, you're going to make whatever money you made from that, and then you're going to get another job. And that's pretty much what's probably going to happen with these Tate things. But the fact that you can make any money at all while learning something is, it's not the worst thing in the world. If somebody was out there clipping up content for me, if you're listening, and posted them and they were getting significant amounts of views, I'd be willing to pay a certain amount for views. 10,000 views, here's $50. Sick. I don't know. I don't know what the going rate would be. Is that not what paid promotion is? I don't know. The larger point at hand is, oh, okay, so you got to pay this guy $50 a month to learn about stuff that probably isn't all that useful anyway. And then, you know, he has you like clipping up all his content and posting it, thinking you're going to make money. Well, you are going to make some money, maybe, if you do it well enough. There are people that are making a lot of money doing it, that are good at it. That still sounds better than college to me, because for a lot of you who aren't going to Hustler University, maybe you're going to, I don't know, Towson University, and you're paying a lot more than $50 a month for equally, if not less, useful information. And there's no prospects for you to make any money while you're there. And there's really not that many prospects. I don't know if you've heard about the recent state of our country, but there's really not that many opportunities for you when you're not there anymore and you have a degree and you realize that you just spent however many $1,000s on a useless degree for really no new applicable knowledge. You've just been trained how to work for somebody, and not even really that. You've just been conditioned. I said this before, I'll say it again. I ask my friends a lot that you know, did go to college and have certain jobs. And I'll say, do you feel like you needed the, like, do you think that you could do the same job you're doing right now had you never gotten a college education? I understand that you couldn't get this job without the degree. I understand the degree might be a prerequisite, the degree, but the education itself, could you function in your work field without the education you received at college? And if they're being honest, they'll usually say, yeah. I mean, unless you're like a doctor, lawyer, something like that, I think you can kind of like, if instead of going to college for 4 years, you just went and jumped into that work field at the age of 18, by the time you're 22 with 4 years of experience in that field, you're way ahead of the guy who just got out of college at 22 with no work experience, but a marketing degree or something. So the version of yourself who skipped college is often more experienced than the version of yourself who went to college. Again, it's the degree that matters. That is a pyramid scheme. College is a pyramid scheme. You want a job? Come to our university, learn jack shit, and after 4 years, we'll give you a piece of paper that says you're allowed to get a good job working for somebody else. That's a scam. $50 a month sounds a lot better than that if you're somebody looking for something to do. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Again, we talked about Sam Bankman-Fried and how he, you know, was taking people's investments and using it as his own money, basically like his own personal, he was like acting like a bank, Sam Bankman-Fried. And then we talked about how our actual banking system in this country works the exact same way. That if you went, if everybody went to the bank right now and asked for their money back, they don't have the money. They've been using it for their own shit, giving out loans, collecting interest, making money for themselves. So the general idea is nobody's ever going to ask for all this all at once. So we're free to do with your money whatever we want. And if you're the Federal Reserve, you can print more money. Oh, we don't have enough money for that. Hold on 1 second. There you go. And that's the old way. Now it's just computers. You just enter it in. Okay, I have $0. Oh, wait, 1 second. Click, 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 clack. Now I have $1 million. There you go, Fed. But when one individual guy does it, he goes to jail for 25 years. I'm not saying that's not a bad thing he did. When Bernie Madoff does it, he goes to jail for a life sentence and kills himself. But when the Federal Reserve does it or your bank does it, that's just how the economic system works, baby. So it is, I find, ironic that when a guy like Andrew Tate has a university that he wants to teach people that want to learn how to do what he's doing, and he is living that lifestyle, he is doing these things, he is making this money. That's not fake. He is jacked. He is a trained fighter. He does get with women. He does have nice cars. He does have all these things. And maybe you're a guy who wants some direction and looks into it. I'm not signing up to it. But I'd sooner sign up to that, honestly, than community college. So, you know, when college scams you out of your money and years of your life for nothing, that's just how the education system works. And if that wasn't the case, then we wouldn't all be talking about how we need to forgive student loans for the past 10 years. Because if college actually did work, we wouldn't need to be forgiving all your student loans. So anybody who's out there going, Jim, you got college all wrong. It is been okay, then why are we talking about how we need to refund everybody their money if it works so well? I don't know. You can't have both. You can't have both. But anyway, I was going to get into some other stuff today, but I think that is good for one episode. We got down to the bottom of this Andrew Tate situation the best of my abilities would allow. Once again, my name is Jimmy Selesky. This is live from the studio, The Daily Edition. New episodes every Monday through Friday of this show, and on the weekends, the LFTS podcast with myself and Eric Glazer. This weekend, for real this time, I know we've teased it a couple weeks in a row, but my cousin Nick should be here. We'll probably have Dom on again, And that should be a good episode. Nick DiCarlo, my cousin from the Slippery Stallions podcast, up and coming comedian, just starting out, doing big things. I'm excited to have him on and in the studio for the first time ever. So that should be fun. We're going to record that on Sunday. So look for that on Sunday. In the meantime, look for another episode tomorrow, Friday. And you know what to do. Subscribe, hit the like button, leave a comment, love or hate it, whatever. Till next time, folks. Peace.